Welcome to Season 3 of the Roots of American Music podcast. My name is Clint Holly, and I will be your host. Season 3 will be called the Akron Heritage Music Project. And thanks to grants from the Knight Foundation and the GAR Foundation, we will explore the history of Akron, Ohio through music and song. Episode 1 is going to focus on the GAR Hall in Peninsula, Ohio. Peninsula, Ohio lies about 15 miles north of Akron and forms a bridge between Akron, Ohio and Cleveland. It was strategically located on the Ohio and Erie Canal, and even to this day is a connector via the Towpath Trail, which stretches between Akron, Ohio and the Lake Erie shoreline. Today we interview Karen James Walters, the Artistic Director of the GAR Foundation and the Executive Director of the Peninsula Foundation. Our musical guest today is Rachel Brown, a fiery chanteuse and frequent performer at the GAR Hall, who melds rock, country, blues, and soul into her own mix through her writing and performances. Let's meet Karen James Walters and find out more about this historic place in Peninsula, Ohio.
My name's Karen James Walters, and I'm the executive director of the Peninsula Foundation. I'm also the artistic director for the GAR Hall. And roughly 9 years ago, I used to work in marketing in the Yellow Pages business with graphic designers, and they sent all our graphic design work to the Dominican Republic. And I laughed when my boss told me, because I said, well, that's kind of a long commute.
Right.
I don't really think I want to go there. So I lost my job. I went to the Peninsula Foundation. I've lived in Peninsula. My family has been there for six generations. And I just asked them if they needed any help while I was looking for a job. And they asked me if I would clean the GAR Hall.
Okay.
And I said, sure, that sounded like a great thing to do. I thought they would want me to do some marketing, but not so much.
No, they needed a helping hand in other ways.
Yeah,
right?
Not so much. So I started cleaning the GAR Hall, and I came from a musical family. My dad had a bluegrass band, and I think he was a better singer than Hank Williams, which
wow,
is what I grew
okay,
up on. He just had an incredible voice, but he always just instilled music. In fact, when he passed away, I just had all these comments from friends who said, we are just going to so miss your dad's music. And so when I was in the hall, I would sing because I was cleaning, and it was built in 1851
right.
as our town schoolhouse. It's an all-wood structure, very high ceilings, domed ceilings, and it just has an incredible acoustic quality to it. And so I, you know, gathered up my dust bit, my duster.
Your piles from that day, right?
I went over and talked to the people in charge at the foundation and said, you know, would you let me start a music program? And they were reluctant at first because they had other vision for what the hall would be. And I persisted, and they allowed me to have some shows out on the patio,
okay,
which is how it started. And then we started an open mic session. And, you know, I moved in when it got cold off of
right.
the patio. And then it has just grown and blossomed from there. And we support a lot of local musicians, as well as we do national and international acts that come through.
And that's the Voices in the Valley program.
Voices in the Valley
right.
program.
So right. you worked your way up from being the janitor
to the executive
booking
director.
Agent, and now you're the executive director.
It was quite a climb.
Because you kept showing up.
That's
you
know, right,
your
right.
persistence paid
right.
off. Right? So let's put the GAR Hall into a couple contexts. Let's geographically, where mm-hmm. is the GAR Hall?
It has a great location. It is in the little village of Peninsula, which is the heart of the Cuyahoga Valley National Park. We have roughly 560 permanent residents and over 2 million visitors
wow.
a year. So it's right on Route 303 on the intersection of Riverview and 303. It's about 30 minutes from Cleveland and about 17 to 20 minutes from Akron and about 20 minutes from Kent.
Okay.
So we have a really great geographic area for people to come to. It's easily accessible to highways. And like I said, we only have 125 seats, so it's pretty easy to fill
those seats up,
yeah.
Right, which always feels good, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
And now, in its past, it was part of the canal system, right?
Well, the peninsula was. Mm-hmm. The GAR, it stands for Grand Army of the Republic. Mm-hmm. It was originally, the building was built as our town schoolhouse in 1851. And in the late 1860s, it was given to the GAR, which was a fraternal order for Civil War vets.
Okay.
So it served as a meeting place for Civil War
vets.
Like
a social club for
yeah.
them to get together and
right.
have picnics or
right.
you know, whatever.
And it was given to the VFW after that organization kind of somewhat faded away. And Peninsula used it as a number of different things. It was a basketball court. At one time.
Really?
Yeah. It was used, the Peninsula Players used it before they moved to the Peninsula Players Barn, so there was a lot of theater
okay.
there. It also, I don't have the, I say this, this is a fact that we claim, I don't know that we have a lot of real details, but they say the first motion picture in Summit County was played there.
Oh, really?
Stage.
Okay.
Yeah, and it does have a pretty great screen that drops down from
right.
it.
Right, because of the way the ceiling is that
yeah.
you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it's an all-cloth screen that comes down, and it's great. It's on these pulleys, this whole pulley system. That
oh, wow.
It almost takes like two people to wrap it back up.
Now, these days, you just have a little remote control,
yeah.
and you just press
yeah,
a button,
exactly.
right?
And it's got big knots on the rope that they're notched into the side thing to hold
to
it up.
To hold it in place?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just, the room just reeks of history, you
right.
know, when you walk in. But, yeah, that's where the GAR connection came from. Now, as far as the canal system, back in the Civil War days, it was customary when one of the town's sons of the towns would go into war, the town would give them a sword, and they would name the GAR after that person.
That person.
And that person in our town was George Lawson Waterman.
Okay.
And his family owned what now is Heritage Farms,
okay.
the Christmas tree place.
Really? Okay.
On Riverview. They also owned two of the stone quarries, and he came into Peninsula. He harvested a lot of trees and it, off of that property, and he built what soon became the largest canal boat operation on the river.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So that was his business where he made his, I don't want to say fortune, but he was wealthy.
Okay.
And the canal was used as a source of commerce in a way that it, you know, people could get goods to all different parts of the country. And one of the things that they transported were these stones.
Right.
And the stones that are mined out of those quarries became the building blocks for both Cleveland and Akron and other communities. They eventually started to mine a special kind of grist stone that they would send to communities for flour
for
production
mills,
and
right?
mills. Yeah, they said at one time, just for a small time, but Peninsula had a larger population than even Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah, we had 14 bars.
I read it was pretty rough and tumble there.
It was pretty
there,
rough
right?
and tumble.
right.
And my great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, ran a canal boat.
Really?
Yeah. And she said, our family history says that when she was in the town of Boston, if she didn't think she could make it to the town of Everett and had to stay over in Peninsula, she'd stay in Boston. There was no way she was going in there. And
during the last segment of the interview, Karen pointed out the fact that there was quarries in the area of Peninsula. And these stones that they pulled out of these quarries were transported both to Cleveland and Akron. And sometimes that area is called the building blocks of Akron. So I want to take that idea and expand on that in terms of how Peninsula is still a building block. And in this case, it's the building block of the Northeast Ohio music scene. The programs that Karen implemented at the GAR Hall have become a real foundation in the area for musicians locally, regionally, and nationally to come and play in this hall. And they can seat, as she said, 125 people, and they sell these shows out. And it's become a place for artists to really build a crowd. And our musical guest today, Rachel Brown, has become one of the flagship artists at the Hall by playing there regularly over the years with her band, the Beatnik Playboys, as well as playing in another program that Karen is going to describe later on in the podcast called Sisters in Song. Prior to the COVID pandemic, the Roots of American Music podcast would go on the road and record artists in these historic locations. Now, the pandemic made a lot of this more complicated. So what we've done now is we are bringing all the artists to a centralized location, a place called Akron Recording Company, which is actually in another historic building with giant sandstone blocks as its foundation, which we envisioned could possibly have come from these quarries in Peninsula. At the end of October, Rachel and the Beatnik Playboys were kind enough to stop by Akron Recording Company and do a live stream from the Roots of American Music Facebook page. The entire show can still be seen on the Roots of American Music page, so please stop by, take a look. But for the podcast, we're going to break out a couple songs, some of my favorite performances from the evening, and this first one is from her 2017 release called Look Who's Back. The name of the song is Blue Diamond.
Cut right through me. Kind of skin, an even tougher mind. Gentle touch made the flame ignite. He got the answers he was searching for and left that night with me wanting more. Another that I know well. She looks at him like I did then, as if her heart could win. Trusting souls, his favorite match. An open gate without a latch. Blue is his eyes, his heart is mine. Troubled soul can't be confined.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, And our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.
Now, when you developed the Voices in the Valley series, what was your mission? What was your idea behind that?
Well, working for the foundation, the building was mostly used for weddings mm-hmm. and for community events. And I just felt it was so beautiful that it should be opened up more to the public, that there should be more people who could come in and see this, because the architecture is beautiful. The acoustics
are
everything
amazing,
about
right?
it is just beautiful. And I love music. I came from a family of
right.
musicians. And I loved my dad very much, and he just instilled such a love for music with me that it sounds kind of hokey, but every time I go in there, I feel like he's right there with me.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's important.
Yeah, really I do. I think he had my back on that. But, yeah, so that was kind of, and we are a nonprofit, so it was never really the thought that this was going to be, we don't look at things as that it's making a lot of money.
Money, right.
We look at it as that we're supporting the arts. So if you support the arts, your main thing that you do is you support the community, including the artists who make the art.
And you raise everybody's quality of life also.
Right.
Not only the artists because they're getting paid, but the people who enjoy music. And
exactly.
You have a building that's now not derelict, like
yeah,
doing something.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have said, I have driven past this building, and it is very nondescript on the outside.
Right.
It looks like a little schoolhouse.
It does look like a schoolhouse.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like exactly what it was, but when you walk in, it's very grand.
Right.
Yeah.
Before Rachel's live stream, I got to sit down with her for just a few moments to talk to her about her interaction with the GAR Hall over the years and how she got started, and more than anything, why she keeps coming back. So let's hear a little bit about that from Rachel Brown.
Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with that and what your experience has been there over the years, because I know you just go back there over and over again. So there's got to be something really special about it.
It is. Well, first of all, the sound of the hall is amazing. But I got involved with it when they first opened. I played there with Hillbilly Idol.
Okay.
Like one of the first shows they had. And then wasn't too long after that the Beatniks went in as a band. And that was, I don't even know how long it's been. It's been quite a while. But
right.
Yeah, and I just, I'm very lucky. People keep coming back, and we get invited back, and then I've been lucky to play there with the Sisters in Song.
That was my next question.
Becky Boyd and Christine Jackson. I've played there with David Mayfield. I've done a bunch of their tribute shows. I'm just lucky.
And so you're not going to stop going back there anytime soon?
Oh, hell no.
Now, the Sisters in Song thing, I think, is really interesting, and I talked to Karen a little bit about this, about, getting women out there. And
right.
So tell me a little bit about
it's
the camaraderie.
Girl power. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the camaraderie that goes along with that.
It's really weird, because we got together for, a benefit show, the initial, it's like, okay, we'll do this one benefit show. And we had so much fun.
Right.
I mean, this is probably close to 5 years ago. I mean, so much fun doing it. And, we come from different backgrounds and different types of music,
right.
And but when we're together, it's like it's the same.
Now, when you guys, I've never been to one of those. So what do you guys, is it like a in the round kind of thing?
It is in the round. We each do our own songs, and then we do songs all together. With the harmony and all that stuff. And then we have Emma Shook on violin from the Cleveland Orchestra. So
oh,
she's
wow.
another oddball out compared, we're all different.
Right.
But we all come with the same thing where music's in our heart, and we just love it.
Right.
And then we have fun. And so sometimes it's really casual, and that's kind of part of the joy of it.
Right.
You never quite know what's going to be said or sung or.
Right.
It's very spontaneous.
And I know you promote a lot of women artists, and you even have series devoted to that. So talk a little bit about, your feelings on diversity and that particular series that you do with Rachel and some of the other artists.
Mm-hmm. The Sisters in Song.
Sisters in Song. Yeah. It slipped my mind there for a second.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just like to be inclusive,
right,
of every form. Women, I think that there's actually a fourth sister in song. I consider myself the fifth sister, and that's, you know, you just get these like relationships with the artists where when you're back in the green room and you're talking, you understand their struggle. You learn about their family and all of these different things. But, you know, we're working on some more of the diversity issues.
Right.
And I think because our focus is traditional roots music, mm-hmm. we're not folk music. We're not country music. We're not rock music. You know, we don't pigeonhole ourselves into that because all music has a roots.
Right.
You know, it all started somewhere.
Right.
And it's all evolved into something else. And I think that if you stay open-minded about that, and sometimes you take some chances on right. some things, you can reach a lot of people and make them feel like they're a part of it. Women in music. You mentioned women. I mean,
right.
look at Rihanna Giddens. I mean,
right.
you know, she just, look at some of the strides that people have made as far as women in music.
Right.
And I think women now, compared to like the early days, like say country music.
Sure.
Look at Loretta Lynn.
Right.
She's like notorious for being the trailblazer.
Right.
You know, I think women have always gotten their voice in music.
Right.
And I think they play a lot on the same playing field. And you even see them, like Rachel, she's the leader of the band.
Right.
You
Making
know?
The decisions.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. So, yeah, it's all good.
Let's jump into the present a little bit and talk about how the COVID pandemic has impacted you and how it has been challenging and created opportunities all at the same time. So
sure.
tell us a little bit about... and also, obviously, you're very passionate about live music. So tell us what a world would be like if live venues were shut down forever because, A, they can't survive or we can't get together as people.
Well, I'll take you back to the day, March 11th, when I called my board and I said, I think we have to close. And they said... Yeah, I think you probably do.
Right.
You know, we're behind you on that decision. I had an artist, Karen Casey, who was en route from Ireland. And she came in, and I told her, and I remember the day after we were supposed to have the show, I still, you know, she was still staying in one of our properties and crying with her on the phone because she had no way to get home.
Wow.
They shut off the travel. They shut off all of her continuing her tour, which she was. It was right before, as you know, St. Patrick's Day weekend,
right.
And so her big part of her tour was actually going to be in Boston and New York.
Wow!
And that was her money part of her tour.
Right.
So she had no way really how to get home. It was, and then there were other artists who were just en route that I had to cancel on the way. And at that point, the system that I had to refund every order, you know,
right.
refund. So just the enormity as I was doing all that just really hit me in thinking about that, you know, I was canceling people's livelihood.
Right.
It wasn't just the livelihood of the GAR Hall. It was these artists that this is how they make their living. And what was this going to mean? And as this has gone forward, it's meant a long time.
Right.
A long time without work. And, you know, so what do you do as somebody who manages a venue? You start to think about how you can change that.
Right.
And how you can make a difference. And what we have started to do is... as part of the CARES Act, which I'm very appreciative for, the Akron Community Foundation and the Ohio Arts Council have offered grants for specifically COVID-related. Like, it's not for paying artists, it's not for paying employees, but how can you reinvent yourself a little bit
right.
to survive in COVID?
Right.
And what things are you going to need, right down to sanitizing?
Right.
You know, hand sanitizers, additional cleaning products. You can ask for funds for that. I decided to ask for funds to get some professional camera equipment and different things that we could do so we could do live streaming of the shows, which I think, you know, I was not crazy about doing it at first because I've always been such an advocate of going to see a show. You know, there's nothing like feeling that bass playing in your heart.
You got to get out of your house at some
point, right? and the windows shaking a little bit when the drummer, you know, kicks in. So there's nothing like the, what you get from a live show. But given the circumstance, I think it's the next best thing that we can do. And I look for the future for it to be a part of the programming. I think that we will draw a bigger audience in. We are still very much going to promote come out to see a show. But once that show is sold out, I have a small venue.
Right.
I would love to push it out, give the artist additional revenue source, and just build some awareness of like what we're doing and what's out there, and maybe include people, you know, that maybe for maybe their age, maybe mobility issues, maybe, you know, they have young children. These folks can still enjoy a show.
Right.
And we are making a huge investment into the hall. We're putting an addition on that gives us a little more room in the main hall, gives us a gathering space for people to come in and get out of the weather while we're waiting to open the hall. But our main purpose was to make it ADA accessible.
I had read about that, right?
Yeah, because our restrooms are downstairs.
Right.
And it's not, it's, you know, there are just some people that don't want to navigate going up and down the steps.
Right.
So that's been a big project that I've been working on that COVID has actually given me a little more time
to work on. Right. See, there are upsides.
There are
upsides.
I'm always looking for the bright side.
Now let's talk about the music scene that you've pulled in around the GAR hall. And, you know, obviously tonight Rachel's going to play and she's obviously a regular there. And,
she is.
Talk about some of the relationships you've developed with, you know, some of the artists that play there all the time. You know, I know Paul Kovac, David Mayfield.
Yeah.
That you have that whole scene. So tell us about how that scene kind of came together and where all those people are drawn from.
Well, you know, the music scene is a family. You know, and I was so taken with when I wanted to start this, how many of them came to me and said, "We want to help you.
Right.
We want to help you start this." But there were a few musicians, Paul Kovac being one of them, and I would say Brent Kirby from Cleveland, Eric Uricki, who used to be with the Speed Bumps. He was a big contributor of just saying, you know, let me introduce you to this person. You know, have you ever thought about doing this?
Right.
You know, musicians are very eager to share their gifts and their talents and what they, you know, what they know. It really is a great community that way. And I've just never had a musician who hasn't played at the hall, who hasn't been grateful to have a space like that to play in.
Sure.
Because people come to listen to music.
Right.
It has a stage. It has an elevated stage. So you're not right on the ground.
Right.
And I just think they appreciate that whole atmosphere that is there.
It's a little more of a relationship between the artist and the audience rather than I'm going to go play at a microbrewery and just kind of background music. They are the star.
They are the star.
Right.
Yeah, they are the star. They're coming there. People aren't coming to have dinner and their background noise. They're coming to see them perform.
Right.
And you know that's the purpose. You know, I think the artists are the stars.
This next one is a bit of a story song, and I wrote this when I was living in this house in Cleveland Heights, and it was just one of those majestic old homes. And this fellow came to the door, and he was like, "You know, I lived in this house for 40-some years. I raised my family here. You know, we were just in town for a family reunion, and we just wanted to drive by and just by chance see if anybody was home." And sure enough, I answered the door, and literally 2 hours later after talking to this fella, I just fell in love with him and his family and the house even more. And I wrote this song after
after he left, and this is a song called This Old Place. With my beloved Ruby, she's not with us anymore. Hope you don't mind that I stop by. I just happen to be out this way. Sorry about these tears running down my face. This is where we raised our two kids, our Susan, Mary, Jack, Tommy with a nine, but he never did come back to this old place, this old place. See that garage over there? Pop and I built that back in 63. Man, the fenders on his Caddy, but they were something to see. Reuben, I'd hang out on this porch, watching the evening sun. Seems like yesterday when our life here begun. On our wedding day, I carried Ruby through the door. I tripped on the step and we both laughed to the floor. This old place, this old place. Wonder what happened to that swing that used to sway out in the back, or that hole in the plaster. I bet someone took care of that. I have a picture from 72. I try to drop it in the mail. Ruby planted all those flowers before health began to fail. Wood and stone don't make a home, just a place to rest your hat. And I'd give anything if I could just go back. This old place. Thanks for your time. Words truly aren't enough. I wish you all the love through the good and the tough. Through the good and the tough. And this old place. This old place. This old.
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, genxgrownup.com.
life sucks as a grown up.
All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right. I've never done it.
Right. Maybe to just start wrapping things up, like, tell us kind of what some of the plans are for the future. Obviously, we have to get through the COVID situation, and we've talked a little bit about the opportunities as well as the challenges of the COVID thing. But what do you see for 2021 and beyond for the GAR Hall?
Well, continuing, continuing what we're doing, expanding with the live streaming. I see the addition is going to take up, you know, it's kind of a perfect time to do this as things are a little bit slower.
Right.
Hopefully by next fall, we'll be able to, I organized the Music on the Porches event with the Village of Peninsula.
Right.
And hopefully we'll be able to bring that back. We missed it this year. And
right.
We missed that. Well, my big picture of what I want to do, and it's not necessarily in 2021, but I look to partner with the Village of Peninsula, hopefully with the Conservancy for the National Park and the National Park, in bringing week-long series of different roots music genre to the village that includes art programming throughout. Village of Peninsula has always had a rich history in the arts. So like you would have a Cajun week.
Right.
You would have a traditional blues week.
Right.
And you would bring people in. You would have a traditional jazz, you know, jazz week, maybe Chicago jazz.
Right, Dixieland, whatever, right?
Yeah, whatever you wanted it to be. You'd have a bluegrass week. You'd have an old-time week. And you'd bring people in, and you would offer workshops and classes. And then you would also have, like, artists that teach crafts.
Right.
You might have the restaurants feature those dinners.
Right.
You could have dance elements.
So you make it almost a citywide
thing.
I mean, it's everything that you've described about Peninsula seems perfect for, you know, something like that. And that you have control over so many venues too.
Right.
Like the Bronson, was
the it? Bronson the, Church.
The Bronson Church and the GAR Hall. I mean, that's like a festival organizer's dream, you know.
and we have some green space area that we can have different things, and you know, you partner with the train. Maybe you have a banjo class on the train one day. I mean, there's
does the scenic railway go through Peninsula?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well, there's something else we hadn't even talked about.
Right.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's in fact, they have a station right over here. You know, on the north side is one of their main hubs, the scenic railroad, and then they come back down. Oh yeah.
And how close is the towpath trail to Peninsula?
Oh, it's right in the middle.
It goes through
right
it.
In
so
it. Right.
One of the other things we haven't talked about.
Right.
This is why you have said 2 million visitors a year.
Yeah. That's right.
Every day you got people going through.
Every day. And it's, the towpath trail has just brings so many people. And during COVID, Peninsula is booming.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the trail. Everybody's wanting to get out to the park because that's something that people feel safe that they can do.
You know, you'd be out there selling popsicles or something along the towpath trail.
Yeah, missed opportunity there.
Well,
right?
there's always this upcoming summer. Yeah. We don't know how long this sucker is going to hang around.
Oh, we sure don't. It's going to be a little while.
Well, especially for the closed space live music thing.
Yeah.
I mean, first thing shut down, last thing open is what everybody's saying, you know. So.
And I really think at this point, my mindset has been building and staying relevant and supporting art.
Karen, I think we have a lot of great information, and I appreciate you sitting down with us
and
talking about the GAR
Hall. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. I'd love to talk about the hall.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about music and art and its effect on the community. And let's just keep it, let's get it back and then make it grow, you know?
That's a good way to end that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a great episode. My name is Clint Holly. I've been your host today. And what a great interview with Karen James Walters and performances by Rachel Brown as we learn about the GAR Hall in Peninsula, Ohio, and how it's one of the building blocks of the Northeast Ohio music scene. I want to take a few moments to thank a few people. Jason Myers, Executive Director of Roots of American Music. Kevin Richards, Artistic Director of Roots of American Music. The video and audio crew at Akron Recording Company. The Knight Foundation, the GAR Foundation,
All of these people come together to make these podcasts available so you can learn some history and be exposed to some great music. If you're interested in donating to Roots of American Music, visit our website at www.rootsofamericanmusic.org and visit our Facebook page or Instagram page to see all of the great programs that Rome brings to the general public. Have a great day, and until next time, keep on trucking.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hastie, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.